Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over and placed it in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. This pandemic has provided me a lot of time, and I'm using it for Bible study. And I must confess, the more I study the scripture, the more I love it, and the more I desire it and want to study it even more. It's becoming a holy habit and a divine addiction for me. I almost feel like a Protestant. Because I can even quote scripture passages from memory. No self-respecting Catholic would ever do that. One of my favorite passages is from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, which perfectly describes how I feel about Bible study. The Old Testament prophet was also a scripture addict, and he exclaimed, "When I found your words, O Lord, I devoured them. Your words were my joy and the happiness of my heart." Last week I was joking. I was working on a Bible study on the Gospel of Mark, and I said out loud spontaneously, "Wow, that's amazing." Just then Cindy McNally walked into my office and said with a smirk, "Sounds like you wrote something really good." I replied, "No, I just read something really good." I am a happy addict of the Word of God, and I don't want any 12-step program to save me. Indeed, it is the Scriptures that are saving me, together with the sacraments. Now, Scripture study is not all sweet, with rainbows and unicorns and butterflies all the time. There is also a sour side, a hard side, a side where you must sweat and struggle in Scripture study. Scripture study is like the sweet and sour sauce you get in Chinese restaurants. Today's first reading from Ezekiel chapter 3 reads, "God said to me, 'Son of man, eat what is set before you. Eat this scroll.'" He goes on, "I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth." So Scripture study is indeed sweet and rewarding. But do you recall another instance where a prophet was commanded to eat a scroll? Well, I do, because I study the Bible. It was in Revelation chapter 10, verse 9. An enormous angel straddling the earth, with one foot on the land and the other foot on the sea, commands St. John, "Take and swallow the scroll. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will taste as sweet as honey. In other words, like all real and enduring relationships, so too our love affair with the Bible will have sweetness and sourness, peaks and valleys. There will be butterflies and rainbows and unicorns, to be sure, but there will also be tears and tribulations and hard work. In short, Bible study requires work, hard work. But if you persevere, you will reap great rewards. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with Lawson Hembry, who manages our school endowment funds. After discussing the endowment, we talked about how we were passing our time during the pandemic. Not surprisingly, he was involved in leading a Bible study in his church. We started talking about Bible study, and he was especially excited. He started talking about the two anonymous witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. And he asked, could they be Elijah and Enoch? Because they're anonymous and not clearly identified. I replied, no, they must be Elijah and Moses. Why? Well, because Elijah called down fire from heaven and Moses delivered the 10 plagues. And so on our conversation went. After I got off the phone, I had to stop and pinch myself. And I said, did I just have an intelligent conversation with a Protestant about the Bible? That's reaping the rewards of serious scripture study. And it is sweet indeed. But perhaps the best tool of scripture study is the lives of the saints, like today's feast of St. Clare. She was one of the first followers of St. Francis of Assisi and started the women's religious order called the Poor Clares. Francis fell in love with Lady Poverty, and he taught Clare the joyous rapture of that love affair too. Clare renounced her family's riches and even cut off her beautiful hair as a sign of that renunciation. What is the theological term for that kind of radical poverty, leaving everything behind? It's called evangelical poverty. One of the three evangelical counsels: poverty, chastity, and obedience. Evangelical is another way of saying gospel, because it comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means good news. How do I know that? Because I study the Bible. In other words, the saints are like a mirror reflecting the sacred scriptures in every age and in every culture. If you want to know WWJD, what would Jesus do today? Just look at Pope St. John Paul II, Pope St. John the 23rd, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Blessed Stanley Rother. In a sense, the best Bible study consists in a close contemplation of the lives of the saints, like St. Clare. Folks, it seems like this pandemic will not be over anytime soon, so you may have more time on your hands. May I invite you to learn my holy habit and enjoy this divine addiction of Bible study. The rewards of serious scripture study are out of this world. Just ask St. Clare. Praised be Jesus Christ.